In the name of Jesus, amen. You're invited to be seated. Tonight, as we began with our announcements, as I did, we begin Lent, the season of repentance and of preparation for Holy Week. 40 days mean for us parallels with the 40-year pilgrimage in the desert of the people of Israel. Also, the 40 days of fasting of our Lord in the desert before his temptation by the devil. Now, in the Middle Ages in Europe, strict fasting was actually mandatory. So the purpose of the carnival parties was to clear the cupboards and pantries of meat, butter, and any other food and drink that would not keep for 40 days. Now, the Lutheran confessions teach that fasting in and of itself is not obligatory nor forbidden by God, but the correct fast is the result of repentance ordained by God in the same way as correct prayer and the correct giving of alms. That fasting is useful for self-discipline, and that it is an excellent external training and preparation to receive the Lord's Supper. In the Old Testament, God's people practiced fasting voluntarily, or sometimes by command, to express their repentance. The prophet Joel says in our Old Testament reading, of Joel, blow a trumpet in Zion, proclaim a fast, call a congregation. And not just the Israelites. In the book of Jonah, the Lord sent out the prophet to the city of Nineveh to call the people to what? To repentance, remember? Turn away before its destruction in how many days? 40 days. Weird, right? And the men of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed fasting and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. And the news reached the king of Nineveh. And he rose from his seat and cast off his wealthy kingly garment and covered himself with sackcloth and sat on ashes. This is what keeps coming back to me when that kid in my religion class said, what do we all share in common? We're all sinners. And the king did the exact same thing, didn't he? He didn't go, well, I'm kind of a kingly sinner. No such thing. So he threw off his kingly things that you could look at him and tell that he was a king. And he covered himself in the garments of a repentant person and ashes. It's incredible. Notice to sit in ashes and to cover your head with ashes were also the signs of things like sadness, things like regret. At the time of Jesus, the custom of the Jews was to fast twice a week on Wednesdays and Fridays to show repentance and humility. But the hypocrites made fasting kind of another form of self-glorification. Take it. Mankind can ruin anything. What is this? We're suffering. Yeah, but how can I brag and suffer? That's kind of what was happening. They're like, wow, look at him. He's suffering the heck out of that. Not only observing, and then they start observing additional days of fasting, but also affecting a disfigured face, inviting sympathy and praise at the same time. How messed up is that? They neglected the daily care of the face to make the effect of fasting seem even more impressive. Wow, you are messed up looking. Good job. It was an empty show so that they could be perceived as more important figures and gain the reputation of greater holiness. Kind of an interesting thing. I mean, after the, you know, into the Middle Ages, this kind of thought process of the Middle Ages church, of them kind of trying to suffer for the sake of suffering and to go, man, I did a great job. I suffered the heck out of it that week. That was the problem. That's the Reformation in a nutshell right there, is to say, no, This suffering was designed for you to say, you're right, I am suffering. I'm suffering with my sin. I'm ever closer to death. And my only hope is Jesus Christ. It had nothing to do with what anybody thought about you. It had nothing to do with what people generally thought, oh man, that guy is an excellent sufferer. It's madness. But again, as I always say, that's why we can't have nice things. Because whenever God gives us something good, we try to turn it and make it about ourselves. This is the proper method of fasting according to the Lord. He says this, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, not to be seen by men, but by your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you in public. So instead of trying to make the world think you know God, God says, I'm the one who knows you, and that will follow you out into the world. It's not a trivial difference. A mere external demonstration of repentance without a change of heart does not correspond to following Jesus. And it is the heart that must feel sadness and humility. Therefore, the usual daily wash and anointing should not be omitted. Jesus does not order his disciples to suspend their acts of public piety, but to ensure that they are done for the glory of God. Following Jesus was a major buzzkill because he was like, you guys, no, these crowds are not about you. You're not a rock star. The fact is we're here to proclaim the glory of God. The prophet Joel wrote, therefore now, says Jehovah, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and lamenting. Tear your heart and not your garments. Make Yahweh your God, because he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and great in mercy, and who repents of punishment. In the same gospel, according to St. Matthew, in chapter 5, verse 16, we find this. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, the imposition of ashes tonight is to confess our spiritual state before God. That we are enslaved by sins and need our Lord Jesus. The sign of the cross on your foreheads reminds you that you are dust and you will return to dust because of your sin, but also of the promise of eternal life that we have even in baptism. It is no coincidence to keep the ashes next to the baptismal font, because they relate to each other very much. The promise of eternal life that we have in baptism is this promise. And by this confession, you glorify God for the suffering and death of our Savior on the cross, who won for you justification by faith. I gotta say, every year, the Christmas tree, as I call it, it's a combination of Christ Lutheran's Christmas tree in 2015 and our Christmas tree in 2015. Yeah, that you guys had a bigger tree. But every year, it gets a little bit more gnarly looking. Every year, it gets a little bit more ugly. And that's okay. Because every year, we always should remember the cross wasn't pretty, it wasn't glamorous. It's not just a beautiful decoration, it's something for the purpose of making the worst people in society suffer. We plead in the words of Psalm 51, Have mercy on me, O God, according to your mercy, according to the multitude of your mercies. Erase my rebellions. Wash me more and more of my evil, and cleanse me of my sin, because I recognize my rebellions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, I have only sinned, and I have done evil in front of your eyes, that you may be recognized right in your word and taken for granted in your judgment. Behold, in evil I have been conceived. I've been formed, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you love truth in the inmost, and in secret you have made me understand wisdom. It's kind of an amazing thing to say that from the time of our conception, and this is a beautiful thing too. It means that from the time of our conception, we need Jesus. There's never a time when we didn't need Jesus. No matter how tiny a baby is in the womb, I preach to that baby. I don't wait for the baby to come out and see me. I preach to that baby. Because the word of God is good for all ages, born and not yet born. Repentance, and all of which constitutes discipline at the time of Lent, helps you in your spiritual struggle and prepares you to celebrate with joy the feast of the resurrection. Can you imagine what it means to have your relationship being based on turning away from the things that separate us from Jesus? A relationship based on not being a part of things that keep us from him, but actually turned away, facing towards Jesus, because what he brings to sinners like you and me is forgiveness, life, and salvation. Imagine your Lenten season being filled with that mindset. And it's the kind of mindset that follows you throughout the whole year, to say that, you know what? I woke up this morning. I woke up this morning and I realized, you know what? I'm a broken sinner. That guy in the mirror needs Jesus. And for each of our own reasons, you can answer why. The sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart. You will not despise the contrite and humiliated heart, O God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.